He says, I'm giving up, I'm giving up, I'm giving up. He says, I'm giving up. I say, you're in a great position because now you can humble yourself and pick up your cross. What does pick up your cross mean? Pick up your cross means, hey, I give up. I need God. What does repentance look like? Change the direction. Absolutely. What does it look like in this scenario? He's saying, I'm hurt. Kids don't respect me. Tired of wife. Seek criticism. Job. Can't do it on his own. Amen. Which means that's the need. All right. That's a good example of step number one. What is step two? The repentance. What does it look like for him? Okay. Question. What is he repenting or turning from?
He's got to ask forgiveness from God, and he's got to choose to forgive the people who have hurt him.
Okay. And how do you do that? That is step two. Mm-hmm. What is he turning and repenting from? He's got to bury all of those. Yes, he's got to bury the old stuff. So when you look at the ministry of Christ, Christ picks up his cross and he's done. Christ, before he even goes to the cross, goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he prays. And he's humble. And why is he praying in Gethsemane? Because he needs God. Does he want to go to the cross?
No.
He says, take away this cup, but not my will, thy will. Which means that's that turning. That's that, I'm turning to your will, I'm trusting you. So what does my neighbor need to do? He needs to turn from self. He needs to put everything in the grave. What goes in the grave? Let's just start listing stuff.
Selfishness.
The selfishness goes in the grave. The pride goes in the grave. The anger. Ooh, because he's fired up. The anger goes in. The bitterness goes in. That's a good one, because bitterness. The bitterness goes in the grave. The broken heart. The I didn't get a phone call for Father's Day goes in the grave. All of that stuff goes in the grave. Does his success?
Yes.
Oh, the success. The success. All of that goes in the grave. Next step. Christ dies. Christ in the grave. Christ rises again. How does the resurrection work for this guy now?
He repents and comes up out of it.
Comes out of what? And comes out to do what?
Well, he has to trust the gospel and take him out of it.
Boom. There you go. So now his hope.
Guidance.
Yes. Well, not yet with the guidance. It's the hope. Where was the hope before the conversation with me? It was in himself. And it had run out. So now, I need you because I'm at my wit's end. I'm giving up. I need you. And I need you to take care of all my issues, my hurt heart, my broke heart, my mistakes. But I need you to take care of all that. Now my hope is in you. Can he do the impossible? Yes, can. So now it looks like, oh my God, I don't see how this is ever going to work. I don't see how my marriage is ever going to turn out right. I don't see how I'm going to ever. I don't see how I'm going to get it. I don't see how my kids are going to ever. No. Your hope is not in what you see. Now your hope is in who can do some things. So now I got my hope back. Now I need the Holy Spirit. Because in my hope, I need something that's going to sustain me and keep me locked in so that everything I do and what I say and when I see my wife and when I see my friends and when I see those relatives, I know that I'm doing those things that are going to make the Father happy. And he's like, man, I just got disconnected because I'm not, I haven't gone to church in a while. And it ain't about the church. I don't hope that you would get back to church so that you can get connected again, but it's about your relationship with God. Whether you're in church or not, you still need to be connected to God. In fact, I would hope that you're connected to God before you come to church so you don't jack up my church. But anyway.
God will give them clarity to where he needs to go.
And what he needs to say to his family, to his wife. So So tears are flowing. I'm talking to this dude, and then all of a sudden, I was like, you know what? I'm looking at my clock. It's 7:20. And I'm like, but this, I got to do this. So let's pray. And I also told him this. I'm like, you know what? You're in a wonderful position because you had to give up. And either you need to give up because God is trying to get your attention. Okay, nobody's listening to me. But God said, well, nobody's listening to you? Now maybe you and I can have a conversation. Or God is showing you things and you're on the right track, but down the enemy is fighting against you because you're getting too close. Either way, I'm encouraged. Count it all joy when you go through various persecutions. So now we get ready to pray. What are we going to pray? I'm going to pray for him. What did you say?
Pray through the steps.
We prayed through the steps.
Stay on the mount.
We prayed through the steps. I said, Father, my brother, just, you know, we prayed through the steps. We come to you in need. Father God, we put everything in the grave. The hurt, the disappointment, the pain, the crushing, the heartbreaking, you know, the mistake, the pride, the success. We just started running out things on the list. Put them in the grave. And we turn and we give everything to you. This is your problem now. Our hope is in you. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that's going to keep us straight. By the time we got through praying, we were laughing and talking. And then I told him this. I'm like, now, how many times are you supposed to pick up your cross? Every day. I'm like, that's just an example. You can go over and beyond that. You might need to pick it up as needed. Because sometimes you'll get to this point and you'll pray this prayer and you'll be to this point and then all of a sudden you'll see the person or somebody will say something or something go around and all of a sudden, you know, please don't wait till tomorrow. You might need to pick up that cross, you know, that instant or whatever, just to make sure that spirit keeps you in line until your breakthrough comes. So that was my morning. So now I'm rushing to get to the camp. And I get there right at 8 o'clock when it starts. And I go to sign in, and they got a new guy on at the gate or whatever, and he goes, I don't see your badge. I'm like, man, I ain't got time for this. I'm already supposed to be in there. I got a powerful word to give him today. And, you know, so I can't get in. I've been doing this over 20 years. You don't get into the camp without your badge unless you get an escort. So he calls up an escort. And it's after 8, but some of the guys see me, so I'm waving at them or whatever, so they know I'm out there. And the escort waves me in, and I'm sitting here going, this ain't nothing but the Lord. This is nothing but the devil fighting this thing, but this is nothing but the Lord. Because you don't get into the camp without escort. And then my escort's supposed to stay with you. I said, I know these officers are not going to stay with me. They got the rounds. They are not going to stay with me in this chapel. Hey, you good, Mr. Latham? So I'm in there. I'm about 10 minutes late. I'm like, man, let me tell you about my day, brothers. And I share the story, and I show them, hey, I don't have a badge. I'm in here by the grace of God or whatever. And I ask them, what is the answer to the scenario of my neighbor this morning? And they haven't been with me that long, but they started walking through the steps. And I'm like, do you know how awesome this is? You have the answers. You have the answer through God's word and his spirit. You have the answers that people are looking for. You have the answers. Somebody's going to put somebody in your path that you can give them the answer to. Don't think that just because you're in prison or just because you're in your situation or whatever, that you don't have the answer that people are looking for. I am so proud and impressed with you guys and folks on Zoom or whatever that you're hearing this or whatever, that you know you have the answer that the world needs. You just do. That's your ministry. All right? Hang in there. Any thoughts or questions? All right. Well, let's get to Judges chapter 7. I wanted to share that with you. Not that I share all, you know, oh my God, I ain't going to tell Chuck nothing. He's going to bring it back now. Whatever, begins with a J.
Yeah.
I get it mixed up. Yeah. Joshua chapter 7. Thank you for keeping me straight. The reason why I give you these case studies is because you need to have the application of the word and understand how to make this word work for not your own life, but for others. How can I make this work? How can I make this work? And this is a preacher. He knows the word. How can I make this word work for me? All right, so I have hope.
You know, Chuck, this morning there was I was watching a minister on TV, and the difference between knowledge and wisdom.
There's a big difference.
He just got knowledge.
Yeah.
But he didn't have the wisdom.
Yeah.
To use that knowledge.
Yeah. Or it just got tired.
Yeah.
All right, so Joshua chapter 6, we saw some of the things that happening there that may not be happening in the story here because they marched around for 7 days, and then they marched seven times for 7 days. And if they only marched for 3 days, then it might not happen for them.
Right.
All right? So, again, I like this. And Norm, Norm says he likes this, so I just keep saying it because it makes Norm feel good. There's a difference between faith and faithfulness. Don't punk out. Go all the way to the end. I don't care how tired you get. Just keep hitting the well, that spiritual well. Just keep going through the process. If you can see evidence of God moving, then that's a good thing. Just hang in there. And let's go old school. I'm standing. This is what came out of the prison there. I surrender about three or four things here. Nope. I surrender all and standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises. Still standing on the promises. Because my hope is in Him. All right. So, Joshua chapter 6, we saw what happened. They did it. Rahab gets saved. I mean, you know, she's got a great future in front of her. It ain't how you start, it's how you finish. A lot of people start out well and they ain't made it. All right. People that are in prison, bad start. Prison ministry is designed so that their latter days are greater than the former days. Your best is in front of you. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. All right? And the walls of Jericho come down. They get this great victory. I mean, everything is just rocking and rolling, and God is moving. God gave them the victory. They're happy. They're celebrating. Joshua chapter 7, here we go. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, I did not bring my Bible. My Bible's in the car, and I didn't bring it, but that's okay. We're gonna bounce through some things. All right. Now, got a couple questions here. When did this occur, this trespass?
Immediately after the victory.
Boom. Roger, thank you. It didn't happen, you know, in the driveway when you gave up. And then your world was coming down upon you and you didn't know what you were going to do and you want to shoot up the neighborhood. It didn't happen then. It happened after you had a major breakthrough. That's why the victory and the pride that comes out of that and the self-assurance, it has to go into the grave too. It's amazing. God wants to give Christians the victory. When we get the victory, we don't know how to hold on to it. And that victory is only part of the process. So immediately after the success, that is where I've got to be most careful, is after the success, after the victory. All right. So, and the reason is, he did not do what God told him not to do. So in chapter 6, I think it's verse 18, Joshua gave him explicit instructions. Don't take of the accursed thing. It's kind of like corona. If you catch the accursed thing, then you're going to spread that thing, all right, to everybody else, and then it's going to be messed up. All right? So don't touch the accursed thing. Bring all the silver and the gold and stuff. That's for the Lord. All right? So I got a question here in my notes there. Why is God so mad and fired up about this? It's just one guy.
But they disobeyed.
Okay. Because they disobeyed. And you can look at this from this perspective of, I mean, as parents, you know, when kids do wrong, why do you get mad? Because they disobey. All right? So, well, let's stick with that example. So they disobeyed. So what?
Consequences.
Well, consequences for who?
It's your actions affect others. Or inaction.
So, I'm just trying to figure out why God's so fired up about this. And there's a number of different things here. So I got some things listed, but I like the example. So one, as a parent, I get fired up because one, I don't want to have to punish the kids. I want to bless the kids. And if you screw up, then the blessings have to stop, and I got to knock you out. I don't want to have to knock you out, but I will knock you out. Well, Chuck, that's child abuse today. No, because I got some boxing gloves or whatever. So my argument is I'm teaching him self-defense. I'm sorry, I'm old school. I still knock folk out. I told my grandson, I don't care if I'm on a crutch, you just better duck, because I'll run over you in my wheelchair, man.
I use my crutch too.
Do you really? Amen.
Yeah.
That's it. I didn't watch enough kung fu movies to know how to use a staff. I have an anointing. I have the ministry of whack. So you don't want to have to punish them. And it delays what you want to do for your kids. Because you want to bless them. You want to give them your back. Now, this just delays it. So, and the impact that it has on others.
Let's start with the Garden of Eden.
Man, I just want to look at Adam and go, why? Why? Why?
Put your hand in the fire.
Why? I want to go to Father Abraham and go, why? Why? She ain't look that good. Why? All right, anyway.
Chuck, the problem with that is I
could
look at you and go, Chuck, why?
It, yeah, I know. If you saw what I did, why? I'm like, I know. I just give Abraham a fist bump and say, I got it. I got you. Amen. All right. So why is God mad and fired up? But I got some other examples here. One, they're stealing from him. Now, this could be a good lesson on tithing, because where was the silver and gold supposed to go?
In the treasury.
In the treasury. Where did it go? In his pocket. All right. So I don't want to get stuck on tithing and things like that. I'm just going to say, don't steal from God. Why did tithing come in? Because when I'm looking at this, the only other time in the Bible where I see God says, will a man rob God, it's associated with offering. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, can you steal some other stuff from God other than your money? Yeah. Yes. What other things can you steal from God?
Worship.
Time.
Credit.
Glory. Oh, glory belongs to.
That's a
real good one. Glory belongs to who? The God. So I'm at the. So Prison Fellowship did an outdoor prison thing. Yes, outdoor worship at Kilby. I didn't know Kilby was so close. At Kilby and Bullock. And I'm out there with them or whatever. And I'm not the guest speaker in any of this stuff or whatever. You know, I'm like the setup guy and, you know, help them move stuff or whatever. I'm muscle. Don't stop laughing. All right. So you were just so disobedient. I told you not to laugh, and you got the big chuckle. Anyway, they turned to me and they asked me to pray. So you know how I prayed. I prayed the steps. I gave him one too. I was like, Lord, I need you. We need you. The guards ain't let us in yet, giving us a hard time. We need you. We need you. We surrender. We bury everything. Talents, all that stuff in the grave. And we put all our talents and we give it to you so that you can take our sacrifice and do wondrously with it. Our hope is in you. And I'm praying this prayer. I'm praying this stuff. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that's already here. And that it just produced fruit in these people as we're ministering to them. And I'm just kind of going on and just, you know, the Spirit just kind of took that thing. And I'm just praying that thing. And I'm just as humble as can be. Because I want them to be at the place where I was at. And so I'm taking this whole group of people to this place spiritually where I was at in my quiet time. And I brought them there. And I said, amen. And man, somebody said, wow, that was a powerful prayer. Gave a fist bump. I said, we ready to go. And then the guards that we've been waiting on pulled up right as I finished the prayer. Look at God moving. Man, that's powerful. One of the musicians or whatever that came out. National recording artists say, brother, that's got me fired up or whatever. And they're all fired up. I'm fired up. And I'm thinking, man, this boy, I did a, what? Sure. I'm like, I'm a bad man.
Pride.
Taking God's glory.
Yeah, you're trying to get it over.
I wasn't trying to get all the glory.
Yes, you were.
You don't need to get none. Thank you, God.
But seriously, that's a really hard place to be because you're so excited that God moved through your prayer.
I'm so excited God moved through my prayer. And I was humble when I did it.
But it's a really hard place to be.
There was none of me involved in this at all.
Right.
I don't want all the glory. Let me shave off just a little bit. Is there anything different in my example than what you see in this story after the victory?
He didn't
take all the gold and silver. He just shaved off a little bit of
it.
So after my pride rose up, guess what I did? I had real quick, because I just got to read the lesson. Back to step one. Real quick. I'm like, whatever I took from you, you can have it back. I recognize that. I said, I recognize it in spirit.
Yeah.
Because the Spirit will keep, that's where that Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will let you know. Now, you know, good dog gone well. It's quick. Now, what you do with it? Now, I could walk around all day long with my chest stuck out. Oh, my goodness. Oh, and it didn't end there. Because one of the musicians, his sound guy didn't show up and his drummer didn't show up. And I rode my motorcycle because, you know, it's just cool to ride a motorcycle. And I'm looking real forward to riding my motorcycle, you know, all the way down Vine Road, down to, you know, that's a nice little trail going to Bullock. And so I'm like, man, I'm going to ride my motorcycle. I know it's a 40% chance of rain, but it's all going to be to the south. It ain't going to rain on me. And he said, man, I don't have my drummer. I'm like, you know, I have a cajon or whatever, little, you know, box that sounds like a drum. I have that. He goes, you want to play for me? I'm like, sure. I mean, I ain't played in years. But maybe I might be able to pick up the beat and do it. But I'd have to park my motorcycle and get my car. And I'm really looking forward to riding my motorcycle. But I'm like, hey, for the kingdom. So I go home and swap out cars and, you know, park the bike and get the cajon. And I'm practicing as I'm going. And somebody came up to me and said, Chuck, man, you got that beat down. I'm like, yeah, I think I can pull this off. I think I got this. They're like, I think I got this. So I'm right back in the same situation I am. Now, I don't want you guys to not pat me on the back and say nice things about me. I can handle it. Just be.
No, we're not going back because you're going in too quick.
So I get up. I'm on stage now. I get up on stage and I start praying. Because I'm getting kind of scared. Because even though I was, you know, getting the compliment, I'm like, now I'm up here with a microphone and I don't want to mess this guy up in front of all these people.
So now you need some help, huh?
Now I need some help. So now I'm in need. So, Father, I need you. I needed him there, just didn't know it.
That's it.
Oh, Roger, he just said something. I know, David, we're not going to get too far on this lesson, but I just. And here's the problem. I'm going to give you a clue to chapter 7. Israel thinks that they don't need them against this city that they're getting ready to attack, because they're like, oh, this ain't nothing. If we took out Jericho, this ain't nothing. They don't think that they need him, and then it doesn't turn out that way. And that when you think you don't need him is the very time when you need him the most. So I'm praying on stage. I don't even know how I got that far. I'm like, Lord, I need you. I repent. I turn. Turn from what? Self. I don't know what I'm doing. I ain't played the drums in 2 years. I ain't played this cajon in 2 years. I don't know what I'm doing up here. I need you. I turn. I repent from pride. I know they said I was doing good when I was practicing over there, but this ain't practicing real bad. I turned all over to you. And now my hope is in you. So, Lord, my fear is gone. You play for me. And man, we'd rock that thing out. And I'm not that, I'm just playing, just beating the thing. We're just rocking the thing out. And then Allie got good to me. I started singing along with her. Only lost the beat a couple times. Then I got to think, you know. Started singing along with her. And then I started doing some fancy stuff with the hands or whatever. You know, the hands started flying off to the side. You know, you know.
You go again.
I know.
That's one of those things you sit on it while you play it?
Yeah, you sit on it. I got it back or whatever. Everything was good. Then I got off the stage. I didn't mess up too much or whatever. Everything was good. God bless whatever he used. I felt pretty good. And then somebody said, Chuck, you a bad man. And I'm like, glory to God. All right, so let's keep going. Success will mess you up. All right. Stealing from him. So I don't want you to know, it ain't just tithes and offerings that you can steal. Whatever belongs to God. And especially the glory. Whew. Disobedience. Lack of faith. Why? You focus on the world rather than the kingdom. Rather than just wait, this is a tragic story. Rather than just wait for the reward to come from God, he's like, you know, God might not give me the spoils, so I'm going to take it right now. So messed up. I'm going to, you know, God might not bless me the way I want it. This is all just seems to be a waste or whatever. Let me just go and grab this. God don't know what he's doing. Lack of faith. I know better than God. It impacts what Roger said. It impacts the plan of God's people. God has a plan. Not a plan is on hold because of one knucklehead. One person, only a little level. One person is going to impact an entire nation. All right? It delays the promises and what God wants to do for you. We parents. Oh, you disobeyed me today. I'm going to go on and give you this batch of cookies anyway. Man, if you disobey me and don't know how to repent, ain't no cookies. It causes others to experience defeat. Have you ever been a parent or did you experience this when somebody in the family, it wasn't even one of your, may not even been you, just your brother or sister got in trouble? And let's just shut it down for everybody. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody playing it. Put that game down. Ain't nobody playing it. It made me mad. And it results in judgment. So those are all different reasons why I think God got mad. Because as a parent, those are some of the things that I get mad. I don't want God to be mad at me. I'm still trying to get him to say well done. All right. All right, I got a question there. Did they disobey Joshua or God? They disobeyed both, because in chapter 6, it says Joshua gave the instructions. But then here in chapter 7, he must have got the instructions from God, because God says they have transgressed my commandments. Let's stop at verse 2. I'm going to read verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven on the east of Bethel. And he spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up, and they viewed Ai. Well, I guess I'll go to verse 3. Oh, sometimes God works differently. That's the other thing you want to see here. But he's doing the same thing that he was doing that got him victory in Jericho. So he said, hey, man, if it worked in Jericho, it might work in Ai. So he sends out some spies. It's always good to get some intel. All right. Verse 3. They returned to Joshua and said, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. That ain't that big. This ain't nothing compared to what we just got through doing. This is small. And make not all the people the labor. They let some folk rest, you know. You only need a few. For they are but few. This is small. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. You know, like, this ain't nothing. This is just walking the park. Ain't nothing, ain't no thing but a chicken wing. You know, let's just go do this thing or whatever. And they fled before the men of Ai. What happened? We got an upset here. This is like Buster Douglas type stuff. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Sherbarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So this is interesting. They had a major victory. They were supposed to win.
Well, you said something earlier about intel.
Yeah.
They didn't get the correct intel because who should they have gotten information from?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, should check with God. Oh, and oh, Roger, you just blessed me. Oh, my goodness. Roger just blessed me. This is a good one to close on. Roger just blessed me. God bless you, Roger. That's good man of God. Got some insight. All right, church. You know. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. This is good. You're going to like this. Check this out. The spies go to get intel on Ai. The focus is on Ai. The focus is on the problem that they have to face. The focus is on... Right? The focus is there. The focus, okay, what do we got to get ready to deal with? Oh, that's all we got to deal with? The focus and the intel is coming back on what they have to deal with. Here's the problem. The problem was not I.
It was themselves.
So while they're getting intel on the external, they didn't do a self-examination. Thank you, Holy Ghost. They didn't do a self-examination because the problem wasn't the enemy on the outside. The problem was the condition on the inside. Heart condition.
They were prideful from their big win.
It doesn't say it, but I know what I... Well, God bless you. I know what I'd be doing. I'd be like, oh my goodness, this is a small thing. I ain't got to do a 6-piece drum set with cymbals and stuff like that. All I got to do is sit on the box and beat on it. Oh, this is a small thing. Until they mic that thing up and I'm like, ooh, I can hear myself. I need to do a self-inspection. Any thoughts to come? God is good. You know what? I just knew this was going to be a great day as soon as I knew that my whole schedule got jacked up.
Well, there was no problem with going to get intel and all that stuff.
No,
there's
no problem at all.
And they could have come back and Joshua could have said, okay, Lord, we went up and checked it out and we got all this. What say you?
It's as much Joshua's fault as it is the spies.
Well, yeah, more so. He's the leader.
He's the leader. So he should have known better? But it worked the last time.
God had given instructions. We haven't read any instructions from God about any of this since chapter 7 started.
Didn't need to.
Yes,
he went off of what worked last time.
Last time he sent the spies into the city of Jericho to check things out. They just went up on a hill going to look down and tell him. It ain't the same.
Hello.
It's like you said earlier, you got to pick up your cross.
Oh. Y'all wait till today to listen to what I'm saying, then we'll put that back to that. This is so convicting, and this is why. This is one reason why I don't post this stuff until after I teach it, because it keeps changing, because the Spirit shows me stuff. And it's not scary. It's cautious, but it just shows, you know, at first I'm like, oh, I'm so scared. I don't want to move, you know, because God might just take me out. I don't want to move, but I'm not scared of my Father. I see His love in these stories. Because His great love and mercy for us is showing me, man, God, You really love us hard to be able to show us through somebody else how we need to look at this, if we look at this the right way, and go, thank You, Father, for Your grace and mercy. Because I don't want to mess up like they messed up. And I want to have the success that they had when they were in right standing with You. And I want to avoid the defeats. Roger, God bless you, man. The intel, they didn't look inside. The problem wasn't I. The problem was I. Mm-hmm. How many times do we get ready to go to Bible? How many times do we get ready to go to worship? And, oh, my God. And the problem, the problem might be the band. The problem might be the noise level. The problem might, you know, but sometimes it ain't the band, it ain't the words, it ain't the song, it ain't whether they hit the note or whatever. I mean, there should be a focus on that. But before I even get to worship, I need to make sure
that my heart is right.
Yeah. Before I go to worship, I need to make sure, let me do some intel on the inside first.
Because, the Lord may have told Joshua, send one man up there and just tell him that the Lord God of Israel has come up here to say, y'all need to surrender. And they may have.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to see later in this example that God switches up so that you can't put them in a box. And the way they took out Jericho is not the way they're going to take out I. Oh, here's one for you. New Testament. Jesus didn't heal blind people the same way all the time. Or anybody all the time, same way. Sometimes He just spoke to them. Sometimes He laid hands on them. And sometimes He made a mud cake.
And even when He spoke to them, He didn't use the same words
every time. He's versatile. Mm-hmm. Depending on the situation. You can't put them in a box. The only thing I want to be repetitive is following my steps. Any other thoughts or comments before we close this out? I know the Lord moved, because I'm going to tell you right now, what we just talked about is not in my notes. So where did we leave off at, Al?
Chapter 4.
Chapter 7.
I mean 7, verse 4.
Yeah, you know the only reason I asked you that, right? Because you've been giving me a hard time, and I just figured if I call on you enough, you'd trip up sooner or later.